On Thursday, November 17th and Friday, November 18th at 7:30 p.m., the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra will present a concert with an American theme. On the program is Charles Ives' Variations on America, William Grant Still's Afro-American Symphony, Jeff Midkiff's Mandolin Concerto from the Blue Ridge, and Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring. As usual, the concert will be in the Magnificent Tennessee Theater, and here to talk with me today about the program is conductor Aaron Demirjian. Welcome, Aaron. It's great to talk with you today.
It's great to be back on the air on WUOT.
Well, let's begin by talking about the theme of this program. It does seem to have an American theme, but it's not the 4th of July or anything. So what made you go with this theme?
Well, that's a two-part answer, I guess, because as we've discussed in some of my previous appearances, talking about Knoxville Symphony concerts coming up this year, some of this season was already programmed before I was appointed music director. And so actually two of the pieces on this program that you mentioned, the Appalachian Spring and the Midkiff Mandolin Concerto, were already set. And so I filled out the other half of the program. I love American music, if that wasn't obvious already. I love American music, and the chance to do an American program that delves into the American sound beyond simply what we usually hear on July 4th, I felt like was an incredible opportunity for the orchestra as well as for the audience, because the American sound, just like the American experience, isn't a singular thing. There are seemingly infinite number of variations on the American experience, which is why I wanted to open the program with Ives' Variations on America. It takes a very traditional patriotic song, My Country 'Tis of Thee, and creates five very diverse, I guess you could say, variations on the tune. And we fill out the first half with a piece that, when it was written by William Grant Still in the early 1930s, was the most popular piece by an American composer anywhere in the world. It also happened to be the first piece performed by major orchestras that was composed by an African-American composer. It was a phenomenon when it was first composed, and it is seldom performed anymore.
As you mentioned, you are starting off the program with Charles Ives' Variations on America, which was actually composed for organ.
Yes.
But another prominent American composer, William Schumann, later orchestrated it. Is this the version that you'll be performing?
Yes, we will. Actually, so in a way, there are five American composers represented on this program because, yes, Charles Ives, fascinating story of Charles Ives. You know, again, talk about different takes on the American experience. So here you have Charles Ives, who was this New England Presbyterian who was fascinated with transcendentalism. He was an insurance salesman. He wasn't even a full-time musician. He composed on the side, and he eventually became sort of the grandfather of American music. His outlet for music, his professional outlet for music, was as an organist in, I believe it was the Central Presbyterian Church in New York City at the time. But he lived his whole life in Danbury, Connecticut, rode the train in every day to sell insurance, and he was a very successful insurance salesman in New York City. And this piece, Variations on America, was one of his earlier organ compositions, actually. And Schumann, William Schumann, not to be confused with Robert Schumann, William Schumann was a prominent figure in American music in the mid-20th century, which is the time when Ives' music really began to be championed by this new community of American musicians. You know, Leonard Bernstein was a huge champion of Ives. William Schumann was a champion of Ives. Howard Hanson, all of these figures who were prominent figures in American orchestras and in American universities were championing Ives' music, and Schumann took to taking this organ piece and fleshing it out for orchestra, and I think he did a phenomenal job.
As you mentioned, William Grant Still is unfortunately a composer who many people are not familiar with today. Nicknamed the Dean of African-American Composers, he was awarded many honors during his lifetime, including fellowships from the Guggenheim Foundation, 8 honorary doctorates, commissions from the nation's leading orchestras. The KSO is performing his Afro-American Symphony. Could you talk about this piece a little bit and about Still's compositional style that we can hear in this work?
Absolutely. So William Grant Still is a composer that I've just been beginning to get to know over the last few months to a year. And that nickname, the Dean of African American Composers, kind of a play on Aaron Copland's nickname, the Dean of American Composers. And on the one hand, William Grant Still really did open up a lot of possibilities for both African American composers and all composers. I mean, he actually taught orchestration to George Gershwin. But, you know, I don't want the label of Dean of African American Composers to let anybody think that William Grant Still's music doesn't just stack up on its own merits. He was a great African American composer. He was a great American composer. Mm-hmm. And his music really sought to take the sound of the blues, which Still himself referred to as something that was viewed as a low art form, and to bring it into the world of orchestras. And he particularly sought to do this with this symphony. He called it the Afro-American Symphony because he wanted it to have a sound that reflected his American experience, which was the blues. And this is actually part of a trilogy of symphonies that he wrote. The Afro-American Symphony was by far the most widely performed when Still was alive. It's in four movements. Each one has a subtitle based on a set of poems by Paul J. Dunbar. The first movement is Longing. The second movement is Sorrow. The third movement is Humor. The fourth movement is Sincerity. Actually, the third movement, Humor, in a lot of varieties. It is a very light and kind of ironic piece of music, and it was performed as a concert piece by itself, actually, back in its time. But very interestingly, he makes a play on I Got Rhythm in the first few bars, and while Still never publicly commented on this, he was Gershwin's teacher, and there is evidence to indicate that it was William Grant Still who actually came up with I Got Rhythm. And he happened to be writing this piece around the same time that Girl Crazy debuted. So he may have been subtly ribbing Gershwin and making a point with that little quotation. But really, he creates this beautiful, soothing, moving sound world that I am falling in love with.
The third movement requires an unusual instrument for the symphony orchestra, a banjo.
Banjo, yes, but so reflective of what was going on in Tin Pan Alley in the 1920s. I bring up Gershwin again. You know, you see the use of banjo in Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. You see it in Porgy and Bess. And it's a sound that is, you know, quintessential to a particular style of American music. And a good segue in our conversation to talk about the Jeff Midkiff Mandolin Concerto, which, talk about another quintessential American instrument. The mandolin is so closely associated with the sound, really, of Americana from right in this part of the country.
Absolutely, yeah. Midkiff himself will be performing on the solo mandolin.
Yes, he will. And Jeff Midkiff has another very interesting story in terms of his musical journey. He is a classical clarinet player who grew up in the Blue Ridge Mountains in Roanoke, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And he grew up both playing the clarinet, but also playing the fiddle and playing the mandolin as well. And with this mandolin concerto, he fuses the two together in a highly idiomatic fashion for both the mandolin and the orchestra. I mean, man, it's going to be a barn burner, this concerto. And I'm so, so glad that the symphony, even before I arrived here, had the thought to bring Jeff to Knoxville, because, man, I think he's going to blow the roof off the place.
Last but not least, Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring. This piece was commissioned by dancer Martha Graham, who wanted a ballet with an American theme. How does Copland capture this American theme in his music? How does he capture the essence and beauty of Appalachia?
Well, you know, they did call him the Dean of American Composers, and I view this piece as the quintessential American piece. I have a very deep emotional connection to Appalachian Spring and to Aaron Copland's music in general, because it sort of glorifies this idea of the majesty that can be found in simplicity. He wrote it in the midst of World War II, and he really intentionally sought out to capture a spirit of American unity in the music that he was writing. And in Appalachian Spring, he wrote the music actually before he knew that the story that Martha Graham had in mind. And there's just something sort of magical about the fact that it did really kind of capture this spirit of Appalachia. The way he conveys, you know, sort of a sense of space and quiet grandeur in his music, the way he utilizes the shaker melody, Simple Gifts, you know, when true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we shan't be ashamed. The way he makes the violinists play a little bit like fiddlers from time to time. It's sort of a chicken and egg thing, because on the one hand, Copeland's music is so closely associated with America now that that is what we think of as the American sound. And on the other hand, he really did capture something that was important for the moment in history when it was written and has continued to resonate down the generations. It's such a beautiful story of a young husband and wife setting out on their new life together, building their home in the Appalachian Mountains, and facing all of the joys and potential struggles of life going forward. And the piece ends with this beautiful image of them standing on their doorstep after the day of celebration is over, looking out into the moonlight sky, and standing there with this sense of nervousness, but also anticipation as to what the unknown world is going to bring. It's such a poignant piece because it's a story that we can all, regardless of our story, of the specifics of our background and our experience, can identify with. And we are going to be augmenting the performance of Appalachian Spring with beautiful, beautiful images from Appalachian artists, which are being graciously provided to us by the Knoxville Museum of Art. It was just another wonderful way that we're collaborating with other artistic institutions around the community.
Well, Aram, I believe that's all I have for you today. Thanks so much for stopping by the studio to talk with me.
Thank you, Melody. It's my pleasure.
Once again, I've been speaking with conductor Aram Demirjian about the KSO's upcoming Masterworks Series concert with an American theme. The concert is Thursday, November 17th and Friday, November 18th, both at 7:30, and as always, will be given in the Magnificent Tennessee Theater. More information is available online at KnoxvilleSymphony.com or by phone at 865-291-3310.